my pleasure to introduce you to Michael Mayer. Michael is someone I've had the pleasure of interviewing three times over the life of TalkJet, and he never, ever fails to disappoint. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Michael Mayer.
Well, Michael Mayer, welcome. I guess I should probably say welcome back. How are you?
I am fantastic. Always good to be on Bill Hart's show, TalkJet. Another TalkJet. This is number three.
It is three. It is three over, I don't know, man, what, 6 years, something like that?
Yeah, at least. Yep. At least, yeah.
Well, it only happens when you have value and content and it's requested and you're popular and people care. So you're all of those. And Michael, I cannot picture you. You're one of those people that, honest to goodness, I cannot picture without smiling. And I just think that's a beautiful quality. That's a God-given gift that you have. And it's good to have you back, my friend.
You know what? And likewise, your last name's Hart. Are you kidding me? That's the greatest name in the – your name is Bill Hart.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but I did change it from Lipschitz.
It was William Lipschitz.
Exactly. You may have heard of me. Yeah.
I'll tell you, that is a great move on your part. That was a great move.
Thanks, man. I sort of thought that, you know, it was a bold move on my part. All right, buddy. So let's get caught up here. So for people who may not know Michael Mayer, and it's possible, you know, the vast majority of people that we're talking to right now are top producing realtors. They're doing volume. They're doing business. They're making it happen out there. But here's what I always tell people when I'm speaking to audiences, and I'm referring to your book and specifically the seven levels of communication and the pyramid and kind of just showing them what that's all about, because I think you've and I really mean this, man, with all my heart. This is not like the interviewer stroking the interviewee. This is me being 100% honest with you. When I lay that out, I believe that no one has as succinctly encapsulated the correct focus in the real estate industry. And that pyramid just does it, man. So here's what I say to people. I say, okay, so let's see. Here's a guy who's not only a real estate agent, but, oh, he's an MBA. So there's not very many of those, so that kind of narrows the field a little bit. Oh, and his third year in the business, he made $1 million. Wow, not very many of those, so now we're kind of in rarefied air. That alone, those two things alone would be like, well, yeah, I want to pay attention to the guy. But guess what? He wrote a book. I think maybe we want to listen and find out what this guy has to share in that book. And so the first thing that I'm going to say to everybody, if you do not yet own, and I've got a copy in my hand right now, a copy of the Seven Levels of Communication, Go From Relationships to Referrals by Michael Mayer, go on Amazon right now, go to Michael's site, walk into a bookstore, get a copy of this book into your hands. You just need to have it. You're not serious about real estate if you have not read this book. So there's my setup. How am I doing so far?
Holy cow, I can't wait to hear from this guy. That's amazing.
See, he's good. I told you. I told you. You're fired up.
Yeah.
No, so here's the thing, man. How many years now since you wrote the book?
It's been 4 years, actually, 4 years, almost exactly 4 years.
And yeah. How's it doing? How are sales going in the book?
Oh, wow. Well, we did the relaunch of the new 7L with a publisher. A publisher bought the rights to it at the end of last year, and we did a relaunch in September, the 1st of September. And interestingly enough, it has been number one for the entire last 2 months.
That's so cool.
Been number one in real estate sales on Amazon. It's been a blessing. It truly has.
Well, it I know it's been a blessing to you and your family, but it has truly been a blessing to the real estate industry, Michael. You know, I think you just did such a great job of in a parable format with the the players and the characters of creating a story that made it highly readable. One of the things I've learned as a coach is we are a nation, and this is good for authors, we are a nation of book buyers. We're not a nation of book readers. Mm. And the reason I know that is I hear all the time people say to me, oh, I don't know, man, I've probably got 9 books that I'm like at chapter 3. Mm. And they're sitting on my nightstand gathering dust, and I feel so guilty about it. And so in coaching, of course, we deal with that. Your book is not one of those. Your book is one of those that, because it's written in a story form, I think you make a very compelling message, you create a very compelling message, and then get right to the core without any real fluff about what works, what are distractions and what take us off task, and then what are the things that really generate results. So to me, that's what makes your book, you know, just so incredibly powerful. But there's more to get caught up on. Like, you've been busy. You've been doing stuff since then. So I think you've moved. Yeah. You've been working on another project. You got Gen, which people need to know about. So can you just kind of bring us up to speed a little bit, Bud, on what you've been doing?
Wow. Well, yeah, so Gen events are still firing strong. We're coming
Forgive me, but for those that don't know, what is Gen?
Yeah, so Gen is short for the generosity generation. And the generosity generation is my community, and it's a community of ambassadors. Ambassadors are those who speak highly of you and refer you willingly. So we have lots of ambassadors who are promoting and attending generosity generation events around the country. You know, Gen Arizona, we'll have 400 people, and they're the most referred professionals in the Arizona area, and it's not even just realtors anymore. You know, it's 60-80% maybe realtors, 20-40% are going to be top financial planners, insurance agents, and quite honestly, that's great for the realtors because they get referrals, financial planners, insurance agents, CPAs, and you know, that all started, like you said, is writing the book as a parable style. You know, first of all, I think one reason that people don't necessarily read a lot of nonfiction books is because the author is telling them, and in some cases, even yelling almost at them to do what he's saying or she is saying. Mm-hmm. And it ends up being one of those where nobody likes to be told what to do. Right. And that's why Malcolm Gladwell and some of these others have been so successful. It's really just these bunch of intertwining stories. Well, I truly believe that's the power of 7L is that I made the vehicle to teach a story, like how do we best learn? We typically best learn through stories because you can show them, not tell them, or you can show them in addition to telling them. Well, one of the things that I showed in the book was a generosity generation event. Mm. And so, Rick attends a couple of those. Well, I get a call about a month after the book came out.
Rick being the character in the book.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah, he's almost like my best friend now. So thank you for, he's a fictional character.
Yep.
And especially since I've been writing for the last 6 months, getting more in depth with Rick Masters.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But it's one of those where a month or so after the book came out, I got a call and a lady was calling and saying, "Hey, when's your next event?" And I was looking at my wife and I was like, "You know, we don't have an event. I don't know what she's talking about."
Yeah.
And she goes, "Yeah, the event in the book, the Generosity Generation event. When's your next event?" And luckily, I thought on my feet, and I go, "Where are you from?" And she goes, "Des Moines, Iowa." And I was like, "Well, do you think you could round up 150 people in like a month?" And she's like, "Yeah, I could totally do that." Well, a month later, we're driving to Gen, Des Moines.
Oh, buddy.
And we had our first Gen with 122 people, I believe. 3 weeks later, we were in Birmingham and had 220 in a room for 150, which
Beautiful.
Was very interesting.
Nice.
And then three weeks after that, we had 325 in Atlanta, Georgia, and, you know, off and running. And now, you know, now we're coming up on our 100th event 4 years later.
I've never heard that story, and I love how it came about that the fictional event in the book created and really gave birth to the actual events, and now I stepped on you there at the end, but did you say you're just getting ready to do your 100th event?
Yep, 100th
awesome.
Event.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, we've been churning out 2 or 3 a month, and it's one of those where I really wrote the book to be an ending, right? It's like, okay, this is going to answer all the questions that I've been getting for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's like somebody will ask me a question about referral generation, and it's like, oh, well, just here, read the book,
yeah,
and that would be the end of it. And,
yeah,
you know, as you and I both know, it wasn't the end. It was the beginning.
Yeah.
But we're still playing catch-up with systems, and the whole thought of building a business around training and speaking and coaching, and you know, now we're 8,000 training clients, you know, down the road, and still, you know, I feel like our systems need improvement. So we're playing catch up.
Yeah, well, congratulations on what you've done. So you know, Michael, the people that are listening to this right now, here's what they're used to, and you know this because you've done this with me before. Our very first interview was Michael Mayer, the realtor, talking about his systems, his team, marketing, you know, with all the things that you were doing on listing presentations and how to work with buyers and following up and communicating with sellers and all the tactics, right, around being a top producer. Since then, so much has changed and developed, but I want to kind of bring it back to that focus. I think, and I know you do this, of course, on a regular basis, but speak to these folks. You know, as they're listening to this, it's November, or as you like to call it, Notevember, 2014. You can expand on that shortly here. But I just want you to speak to real estate agents for a moment about, and I'm going to ask you to kind of do this with me extemporaneously. You know, it's the end of the year, 2014. It's certainly been an interesting year. I don't know that I've heard of a year that hasn't been interesting for the last 30 or so that I've been in it, but really has been an interesting year. Just off the top of your head, in terms of like trends and things that you see that are making a difference right now for top producing real estate agents, what comes to mind for you? What are you seeing out there?
Well, that's a great question, because one of the things that I like to do is I like to be very open-minded, right? And I like to embrace all ideas and filter them for merit, you know, over time and through. So, you know, it's one of those where, okay, you know, the drones kind of came and went, the QR codes kind of came and went, and it's one of those where I have to tell you that you know, I feel weird mentioning this, but I've been preaching it for 4 years.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that people are now finding that the internet is not the end all be all for business, that technology is not the magic pill, that social media is not even going to be their gateway to the heavens for lead generation.
Mm-hmm.
And even though a lot of them want to use the, you know, right now the big thing is Facebook ads funneling to a squeeze page, funneling to an internet, you know, funneling to a request for a CMA, you know, funneling to finally, you know, talking to a person.
Right.
And it's you know, we're going to find that, I believe, going away soon. And it's the march back to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in a people business, and never has referral been bigger than it is now because of social media.
Yeah.
Now they don't need to pick up the phone and call 10 people or attend Bunko. They can get on social media and post how great you are. And I can't tell you, I mean, yes, I am on social media. I'm not on it very much, but I am on it, and I post at regular times. And the reason I'm on it is because I get so many referrals through Facebook messages.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's become another avenue for referral generation.
Yeah.
But people don't realize that, well, that's a Facebook referral. No, it's not. It's a referral from a relationship that happened offline.
Yeah, totally.
And it just so happens that they referred through Facebook. And, you know, Bill, you brought up, you know, another point on this is that what's funny is internet leads are such a small percentage of closed transactions, and what's funny is it went up a little bit and now it's back down, which is really interesting. And I truly believe even that number of 4 to 7% is inflated, because what happens is I get referred, and then somebody checks me out online, they fill out the online form, send it in, and you know, if people weren't tracking that, they would think that was an internet lead because they got it from the internet forum.
Yeah, that's right.
But I mean, come on. The other day I saw this, and it was like the whole thing was completed, and the notes section had all of the interest that they had in a home. It's like, okay, that's not an internet lead. You know, so you give them a call. Oh, yeah, yeah. Courtney D'Amico referred us to you. You know, it's like, exactly.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those where it's, you know, the repeat and referral funnel is bigger than ever. And even, you know, Chris Smith, who has been known as a social media guru for years, he came out with PeopleWork. And look at his message now. It's so much about the people and so much about relationships. You know, Lisa Archer is one of the geeky girls and has helped a lot of people with technology and so on and so forth. And her message is now about all about relationships. And even Gary Vaynerchuk, who is the epitome of the social media sensation, look what he's doing now. You know, it's all about people and the relationship. So that's the biggest thing. And you know, you're talking about this fourth quarter. You know, I feel like I should put my four in the air from the football days. You know, fourth quarter finished strong.
Yep.
And the biggest thing I'd say is that's the single, that is the best time to work on your business as well as working in your business. This is the time to work on it. This is when if you looked at my trajectory over the years, I didn't quit working when maybe business slowed down a little bit because of the weather in Kansas City. What I did is replace the working in the business time with a lot of working on the business time. And, you know, we had record Decembers. You know, 2 years, my biggest months were December. And it was because I just kind of kept working. And it just happened that that's when the people ended up closing before the end of the year. But we would invariably be so far ahead of our competition by the time the new year rolled around because we had tweaked our systems. We had team advances. This is the great time for the listeners of this to schedule a team advance. You know, take your team, bring them in, and just spend 3 or 4 hours on systems, on roles, on responsibilities, on, you know, a chronological checklist. And improve it. Make it better.
So good, man. I don't want to assume that everybody is familiar with the term. I mean, I know it sounds intuitive on time versus in time, but you know, in Michael Gerber's famous book, The E-Myth, and in the most recent version, The E-Myth Revisited, he spoke about working on your business versus in it. And the idea of working on it is, you know, what you just described, but I just want realtors to kind of hear you on that. If they're not doing it, one of the things that I do as a coach is have people schedule on time in their calendar. I don't know how you manage it personally, but what I have to do, because I'm easily distracted, I know it's just me, but I'm easily distracted. When that appointment comes up in my calendar, if it doesn't tell me specifically what I'm going to work on, I'm going to drift off into the weeds of whatever pops up or gets my attention or needs to be dealt with. So instead, you know, what I would encourage you to do is to listen to Michael right now and say, so what could that be? It, you know, for example, November of 2014, we've just had a little drop in rates. No way of telling where rates will be as you're listening to this. But that's sometimes all you need is to have a conversation, to follow up with people that you met at an open house, that called on a yard sign, that called on an ad, and follow up with them and try and move them, like Michael just said, to contract before the end of the year. There's an opportunity right now in most markets where they were, you know, maybe disillusioned in a multiple offer environment. Or when the hedge funds were in just, you know, buying things up cash in some markets, they might come back around now and say, huh, nice. Now there's a little bit more inventory, not quite so much demand. Maybe it's time for me to take action. Would you agree with that, Michael?
100%. Absolutely. It's the other thing, too, is your activities, your results lag your activities by 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
So you're, you know, in the real estate world. And quite honestly, in the mortgage world as well.
Sure.
So it's one of those where, you know, the best sellers are thinking right now about selling their home in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a March listing in March.
That's right.
You get a March listing in November.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is the time to act and build those relationships and be talking to people. You know, that's what November is all about, is, you know, came about very interestingly enough, is that I was at a mastermind last October, and there's a lady in there who's a little curmudgeon-y. And I've always wanted to say that in an interview. Yeah, I've always wanted to say that in an interview. So thank
well
you,
done.
Hart.
Well done.
So she's just, you know, we know these people, right? And
yeah.
And you know, so she was just kind of whining, and she was just like, "Well, you know, God, look at next month. Even November starts with the word no." And
and
of course, my entire body is repulsed. You know,
yeah.
By the whole negativity, you know, and I immediately start thinking, I start jotting notes, you know, okay, wait, you know, if there's a negative, there must be a positive. There's a downward
nice.
Spiral, there must be an upward spiral. And so it's like, how about yes, member? And it's like, yeah, that doesn't ring.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, well, thanks, you know, November's the month for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So what better way to give thanks than a thank you note? And November became Note-vember,
nice.
And I assigned a 30-day challenge because November has 30 days. So I first rolled this out to my coaching clients and training clients and said, hey, who wants to do this? We're going to do a 30-day challenge in November. Call it Note-vember. We're going to do 30 notes in 30 days. I'm going to do it myself. Who wants to join me? And the response was overwhelming, to the point where in 2 weeks, I created a website, Notevember.com,
nice.
Got Notevember trademarked, and 3,500 people participated, 10,000 notes, and 15,000 donated to Notes for Coats. And by the way, something else that I know is right up your alley
yes,
is Notes for Troops
nice.
Were a part of this, and over 150 notes were written to troops overseas.
Michael, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I just want to stop real quick because I'm just, as you're telling me this, I'm bringing up the site and I want other people to do it too, unless you're driving, of course. But do check out the site because it's beautiful, it's brilliant, and I tell you what, man, I'm in. I count me in for 30 notes in the 30 days of November, and I'm going to promote this myself through my own clients. I think this
Thank
is
you.
Brilliant, Michael. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And the response, you know, it starts today. You know,
yeah.
it's literally 30 days, 30 notes, and it's been on CNBC and Fox and now TalkJet. You know, we've hit the epitome of
I think you have.
Getting the word out.
Finally, after CNBC and Fox, finally you get to TalkJet.
Well,
yeah.
I went up the pyramid.
You definitely
right?
did, man. No doubt. No doubt. You have arrived,
I love it.
Brother. Well, dude, I am so excited about that. So I'm at an event, I don't know, a month or so ago, and I'm listening for the very first time to a guy that I've heard of for a long time, hearing great things about his book that, you know, just hasn't hit my radar screen yet. Usually once I get two or three referrals, then it's like I have to order it, and then it gets into the lineup. And it was Hal Elrod with The Miracle Morning. And if no one has seen Hal, he's kind of an unassuming guy. I mean, you know, if you told me that he worked at Best Buy, you know, I'd believe it, right?
Yes.
And he gets up on stage and lays out one of the most unbelievable and compelling stories I may have ever heard about mm-hmm. his personal story and tragedy and triumph and just, you know, decision and choices. And the book is The Miracle Morning, and The Miracle Morning is one that has really had a lot of impact on my clients and me, and he's just so good at it. And then I see you at the conference, and somebody said, oh, yeah, actually Michael and Hal are working on something together. So tell us about that, man. What do you guys do?
You are so on the cutting edge. I was introduced to Hal by the Cutco, you know, the Cutco reps,
yep.
Sarah Mashburn and Adam and
yep.
Nick Najjar and Katie Haney. And I mean, just, I'm a Cutco fan and,
mm-hmm.
and, people don't know this, but Hal was a Cutco rep and sold a lot of knives. In fact, had the record for a while for a month.
Yeah.
And so the beauty of having the success with 7L and the Generosity Generation is the platform has grown. And the beauty of that is as my platform has grown, I have the ability to help others grow their platform. And that is so rewarding. And Hal has been, he's part of a little mastermind that I do with four people who, you know, that's my goal, is I want to help them build their platform. And
so cool.
And Hal's story is absolutely incredible. It is
incredible.
Something to check out. So
yeah.
The answer is that I have always been a believer in rituals. I'm a systems and rituals guy.
Mm-hmm.
For systems, people need to read E-Myth Bit Revisited, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
They also need to read Flawless Execution by Sergeant James Murphy, a phenomenal book on systems.
Indeed.
And the other side is in 7L, I write about the four enriching rituals. What I truly believe are, if you're going to develop rituals, here's the first four to start with, which the first one is the Sunday night ritual. And the Sunday night ritual will take you 15 to 20 minutes, but save you hours during the week. And what you do is you, I call it SWOM, S-W-O-M. S-W-O-M is the acronym I use for just, this is how I remembered it in the beginning, which I look at my schedule, I look at the weather, I align my outfits in my closet. So I put Monday's outfit together, Tuesday's outfit together, Wednesday's outfit together, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I put them all in order in what I'm going to wear, including draping the socks over the top and the belt and the whole nine yards. And so my outfits are completely ready and they're appropriate for my schedule and for the weather. And now it takes me literally 5 minutes. And then the fourth thing is meals, right? So
before you get to meals, I'm just sitting here with my chin on the floor on your degree of preparation. If anyone, my wife would tell you, if anyone observed me in my prep, I'm just going to tell you, it's a little bit different. Different, Michael. We're getting slightly different results. So there you go. Okay, so tell me about meal preparation now.
Yeah, well, just meals are part of that too. It's just, planning out what are you going to eat. My wife has really come on board with this blood type diet,
You're right, and your blood type, yeah.
Yeah, and so lining that up has become a part of our Sunday night ritual. It's so nice not to have to think. If you're thinking all the time and you're making all these decisions, it's just nice that in the morning, and I found that, morning when I just first wake up, I'm a little bit groggy. And, it's nice to just jump in the shower, get going, and just have your outfit there. And
Absolutely.
It was a great compliment to my morning ritual.
Yeah.
Right? My morning ritual was before that. And then you have the nightly ritual. I do a nightly ritual, which is what I call a pre-sleep ritual, and it helps me sleep better. And there's a great app out there called Sleep Time. It is $1.99, but it actually analyzes your sleep. So it's an app that you put underneath your pillow, face down, and then you just go to sleep as normal. It actually analyzes, and don't ask me how it does it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it'll analyze when you're awake and when you're in deep sleep, and it gives you an efficiency rating.
Wow.
For your sleep.
Wow.
And I know that when I do my pre-sleep ritual, I sleep better. And if I don't, if I just kind of just get home and crash, then I don't sleep as well.
So
it's interesting.
So
And then the pre-leave ritual is my 5:30 to 6 ritual, and that is what, for me, it's writing down 10 names, numbers, and the reason for the call, and that's my first and 10 the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And the first and 10 is first thing in the morning, 10 calls. So the four rituals are Sunday night ritual, nightly ritual or pre-sleep ritual, and then pre-leave ritual, which is just getting your desk a little bit organized, just like taking a second to get your desk and office area manageable. It doesn't mean an empty desk. That's the biggest misconception with it. It's folders lined up in order, a checklist, and you're out. And then the what I consider the most important one is the morning ritual. And so I've been doing a morning ritual, and I've had a lot of success. Affirmations, appreciations, my blessings book work, prayer, some quiet time, and it was just like it was just kind of something I did, right?
Yeah.
Well, Hal has come along and studied all of the high achievers and all of the performance tips, like meditation and affirmations and visualization and exercise and reading and journaling, and it's like, these are the things that top people do, and we know that we should all do them, but we don't. We think we're going to fit them in around our schedule, but it never happens.
Totally.
So what we have to do is we have to put those practices of the high achievers into our schedule, and the best time to do that is in the morning. So I believe that Hal has created the ultimate morning ritual called the Miracle Morning.
I agree.
And so that's what we did. We decided, you know what, this Miracle Morning is pretty generic. It's a good story, his story, and it's good.
So
and then
good,
I thought, you know what we need to do? We need to make this catered more for my friends, and those are the realtors.
Yeah.
So honestly, this is one of the first announcements. Very few people know about this, but this December, the Christmas gift for realtors will be the Miracle Morning for Real Estate Agents by Hal Elrod and Michael Mayer, and partnered with Michael Reese and Jay Kinder.
Oh,
so
buddy,
Jay Kinder,
so
Michael
cool.
Reese. Yeah. So for the 7L lovers, it is the sequel to 7L.
Nice.
It's the next story. Yeah.
Oh, Michael, I am jazzed about that, man. I was kind of hoping, I mean, you're actually telling me this live. I didn't know this ahead of time. So I'm reacting to you just, you know, completely, honestly, and in the moment. I was really hoping that's where you were going with this because I could so see the application. And I'm really fired up that that's what you guys have done, and especially with Kinder Reese, that's, you know, about as good as it gets. So the Four Horsemen riding in toward the holidays with a formulaic way for real estate agents in particular to be able to set themselves up for success by having rituals and systems in place in the morning. Man, if I'm hearing you right, that is spectacular.
You know, thank you. I truly believe that what is the gift that we can give realtors, and this is what great mortgage professionals do, is mortgage professionals give them systems, give them and help them focus on what they need to do, and give them more clarity and control, right? That's what a good mortgage professional does. Instead of the person worrying about what's happening with the mortgage,
right,
the mortgage professional, that, like the person who gave this to your listeners, is you know what, I got it. Just you go do what you do. I got it.
I'm bringing certainty to this part of the process.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so that's what I and Hal wanted to do with this is we want to give the realtor who can have the most reactive, out-of-control lifestyle ever known to mankind. This story is about control. And we believe that if you own the morning, you own your day.
Yeah.
Before you even leave for work or leave for the office or leave the show or leave for a listing appointment or leave for your lead generation, you have already felt a sense of accomplishment from your day because you did this morning ritual, the Miracle Morning Ritual.
Totally. Well, buddy, I'm more excited about that than you probably know. For you listeners, I hope that you're excited about this as well, both on the mortgage and the real estate side. This is the kind of thing that can make a difference. And as a coach, and Michael, I know that you're coaching as well, you know, this is one of those things that it becomes fundamental, where when I ask a client, I don't care how successful they are, what time do you go to bed at night? What time do you wake up in the morning? Tell me about how you set yourself up to win your day. Mm-hmm. People like you and so many top producers that I've coached and interviewed over the years, they give me a very definite response to that. Well, I'm up at this time. I do this. I work out here. I read something inspirational. Jason Womack, if you've ever followed any of his work, he says, I'm at my best when. And then there's a space, right, that you're supposed to fill it in. And it's to get you thinking, I eat this kind of breakfast, I work out, I read something inspirational, I review my day, as opposed to the opposite. And even many, many people that do a lot of volume run their day this way, but how much more efficient could they be if they did it this way? So the antithesis of everything you just described is, well, I stay up late because, you know, I have a glass of wine, I have a beer, and I watch the news, and man, that's not a pre-sleep routine. That's a pre-nightmare routine.
Right.
Yeah, none of that's good. Then, in the morning, the alarm clock goes off, and it's cold outside. I don't really want to get up. You know, it's winter now, and I hit the snooze, and I snooze. And Hal has got a great story about that, right? It's like, wait a minute, you're actually doing so much more of the very thing that you say you don't want to do. And so you wake up late, and you end up chasing your tail all day. So this idea of being able to get in front of your day intentionally is just enormously powerful. It's really fundamental, isn't it?
It really is. And what, you know, it's like people have this image of what they think the top agents are like. And they think that they work all the time, and they are just showing and listing, and they're just all over the place. And the truth is, in my research, my interviews, my knowledge, right? You know, the nice thing is being at the top echelon, you get to network with the others that are at the top echelon. And what I've found is, you know what? They have hours. They work 9 to 6. They do open houses, but it's in a very proactive and structured, and they don't just do an open house. They have mega open houses.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So what I'm hoping is that, yeah, you know what, the 9 to 6 and the structure, you know, I'm a big proponent, just like you are, of time blocking. Well, you know, getting somebody to, like, time block, go from where they are to time blocking is an enormous leap. And what I'm hoping is, you know what, just give me 1 hour. Give me 1 hour in the morning. Do this
totally
for 1 hour, and then whatever you do the rest of the day, you go do it.
Yep. Now you're right on the money, man. And the evidence of that, Michael, is, you know, the number of people that I've coached over the last 12 years who work out in the morning. I wish I had a number for you. I don't, but my gut says, you know, that 90% of the time, those that commit to working out in the morning get their workouts done. I know from personal experience in my own life, because I start very early, I tend to work out over lunch. I can do that. I work out of the house. I live in California. I can, you know, work out in the backyard 365. But I know most people that wait, things get in the way, don't they? Things, you have to react. I'm tired. I don't feel good. It's been a tough day. I don't want to work out. I'll do it tomorrow. Isn't that the truth?
It's absolutely the truth. You have the most control over the morning. So the things that are most important in your life should be done first in the morning. You know, Gary Keller and Jay Papasan's The One Thing. You know, they say the same thing is, you know, there can only be one first. You know, the whole thought of priorities is absolutely a myth. It's priority. There can only be, everything has hierarchy. So what are you starting with? Mm-hmm. And if you're going to start your day, you should start it with self-improvement. And if spirituality is important to you, implementing your spiritual plan. If health is important to you, implementing your health plan. If financial is important to you, starting out with your financial plan, right? Mm-hmm. Are you looking at your P&L every morning? Do you think you'd be more profitable if you looked at your P&L every morning? No doubt. Right.
Well, Michael, you're just a treat, dude. We need to spend more time together because really you get me fired up, and you bring certainty and you bring innovation and you just bring truth to the equation every time we talk, and I am thrilled to have you here, man. So here's my question, I guess. We now know, obviously, everybody listening to this call needs to own at least one, and I'm going to encourage probably like 5 to 10 copies of the 7 Levels of Communication. So let's put a check mark in that box. We know that they need to be looking for gen events in their city or a city near them, and if it's not coming up, maybe they should be reaching out to you trying to schedule one. And now we know that we've got a new book coming out in December, so they can keep their eyes open for that. What else should they be – what's the best way for somebody listening right now who gets fired up about what you're sharing to connect with you and to do a better job of benefiting from what it is that you're bringing to the industry?
Wow. What a great question. I would welcome them to referco.com, mm-hmm. referco.com. Mm-hmm. Referco.com will update them on where's Waldo, so to speak, where
nice.
I am
and
what we have to offer. And then I'll tell you, this just kind of popped into my head, but facebook.com/referralguru, mm-hmm. and I probably would rename that if I had the opportunity, but that's facebook.com/referralguru is
yep.
my Facebook page, and I have one objective with that page, and that is to post and share photos and videos that help you get referrals. So I share posts, photos, and videos that you can share with your consumers, with your clients, that will make you more referable, and quite potentially, just by posting it, you could get referrals. That's my entire objective. And you know, we're over 72,000 people in that community right now, and we welcome the TalkJet listeners to join us at facebook.com/referralguru.
Well, I have liked the page, and I just went to it now, and I'm just scrolling through it, and I see that it's Fist Bump Friday. And
it is.
And there's just tons of good stuff in here. So, yeah, man, I mean, I think that is that's the smart, immediate thing that people can do that will help them to stay better connected with you. And, buddy, I just got to thank you. I thank you so much for all that you're doing. I love whenever I seem to turn around in an event, and there you are, and always looking like $1 million, always dressed like you're getting ready to either walk into a courtroom or a $1 million listing presentation. And I cannot picture you without the smile. It's just a beautiful gift, Michael. So thank you for sharing today. We wish you nothing but tremendous success with the new project and everything that you're doing. And, buddy, I just appreciate you making the time. I know you've had a brutal travel week, and thanks for closing it out with me this way.
Well, Bill, and I'm speaking from the entire real estate and mortgage industry when I say this, is, dude, you're an impact guy. You have made an enormous difference in the lives of so many people in the mortgage and real estate industry that it's not even funny. You never know when your wisdom will change a life, because mm-hmm. I've had a lot of those conversations with people who tout you and give you so much credit for having an impact on their life, changing their life, and quite honestly, changing the trajectory of their entire family. So I want you to know that you are appreciated. And listen, I always end with appreciation, but this is coming from the bottom of my heart, and I want you to feel it. Is listen, you are making a profound impact on the members of this industry, and know that you are loved, and that you have
funny.
A gift, and you're appreciated.
Thank you, Michael. That means a ton to me. I can't thank you enough. That's part and parcel of who you are. You are a giver. I'm going to close with this, but every time we talk, every time, you always say the same thing to me, and it's actually a question. You ask me, what can I do to best serve you? How can I help you? And I know it's not unique to me. It's who you are, bud. So if I was going to leave one single thought, with anybody who's on this call right now, if you want one simple, actionable step, it would be to begin to do that with everybody that you interact with. If you find out a way to demonstrate the generosity that Michael teaches in all that he does, it is incredible what begins to come back to you. Michael Mayer, dude, you're a rock star, man, and it's just such a pleasure to hang with you. Thanks so much for being with us today, and we wish you nothing but tremendous success.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir, and thank you for having me on. I appreciate you more than you know, and I meant every word I said.
I know
period.
You, buddy.
And I also meant I want to know how I can help you.
Thanks, man.
Well, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to tell that I was having a good time with that. To me, Michael Mayer is just one of those great guys that is an innovator in the industry. He helps us to look at things differently, simply, yet powerfully. And if you take nothing else away from this interview, I truly hope that you take away from it just the idea of his focus on systems and rituals. I would love for you to engage in his 30-day challenge of 30 notes in 30 days for Notevember and watch what happens. And I think ultimately, if we can remind ourselves that technology is phenomenal, but nothing takes the place of relationship. So focus on relationship, use technology to support it, and watch what happens to your life and to your business. I'd love to see you sit down with the individual that that shared this interview with you and have a conversation around this very topic with that individual and see what changes you can make in the next 30 days. Until next month, this is Coach Bill Hart. Make it a great day.